For those that may not have your Bibles with you, there's a pew Bible in front of you there. Our young people are going to slip off to their children's worship along with some adults. So if you have a child, children's church age, let them slip out at this time. John 15, if you're able to stand with me one more time, please do so as we read the passage of Scripture that we're going to read this morning. Jesus writes, he says, I am, he says, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, that is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that is, he prunes. He prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth, or bears, forth much fruit, for without, or apart from me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, that is, dries up, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Our text verse is verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The title of our text, our message today would be A Joyful Heart. How to have a joyful heart. May God help us in understanding his word as we pray for God to do so. Let's bow. Father, we commit this time to you. We thank you for the word of God, and we thank you, Lord, that it is sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. None of us are here by mistake today, God, because of your providence you allowed us to be here. You made it possible. And God, I pray that we'll not listen with hearts that are worrying about things that really are not worth worrying about. But Lord, help us to focus on the Word of God and help our attention, Lord, be given unto you. And Lord, help us to be surrendered to the Spirit's leading this morning. And I pray, Lord, if there's a lost one in our midst today, that they would be saved. And may we all leave here saying what a joy it has been to be in your house. Do what only you can do through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Brother Rice. Very powerful message and song. And I will say, I think that's the best I've ever heard him do when it comes to that song. It has a wonderful message. And really, it kind of ties in a little bit with what I want to speak about today, because what we find, as we've just read in John chapter 15, Jesus was preparing the disciples for his soon departure from the world. And what he was stating in John 15 that we had just read, he was stating one key fact, and that is to abide in the Lord. But as you notice, there were going to be those who were not going to abide. They were branches that, like you would find in any tree, that really are not a part of the vine. They've died off. And he was making reference to some, like Judas, as he was preparing the disciples of his departure. There are going to be some that are going to forsake the Lord. Judas was one of those. Judas was not connected to the vine. And you know, we are faced with situations like that today, where a lot of events take place in our heart. And Jesus said in verse 11, which is our key verse today, because I do want to speak on the topic of a joyful heart. Jesus says in verse 11, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You know, Jesus says that his desire is for us that we might be full of joy, because in this world where some are going to forsake the Lord and circumstances are not going to go our way, then if not careful can rob us of our joy, right? Let me ask you this question. Are your hearts filled with joy this morning? Now, I'm not talking about just when things are going well, but I mean all the time. You mean, preacher, all the time? There's no way that I can have the joy of the Lord all the time. Perhaps I should define the terms. This term, joy, is not the same as happiness. Sometimes people get those two confused. I have on many occasions. Happiness is largely dependent upon events or circumstances. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit of God and can be experienced even in times of afflictions that we face in our life. One fellow described a believer like this. He says, "We're like a large bowl of soup that's carried by a waiter. He holds the bowl high over his head, and he cannot tell what's in it until it is bumped and it spills out." Now think about it. What spills out when we're bumped? Is it joy? Because we're going to be bumped from time to time. There are going to be difficult things that are going to happen in our life that Satan is going to try to rob us of that joy. And if it's joy that we have, if we're filled with joy, then that is what will often spill out, right? The world says that joy can be found through a change in our circumstances. They say take a vacation and you can find joy. The world says earn more money and you can find joy. The world says spend more money or save more. Another popular notion today is that we should change ourselves. Make ourselves look better, which is not a bad thing. But, some says to exercise or to lose weight or even gain weight, anything to discover the new you, that's what the world says will bring us joy. But that's the world's view of joy. Jesus had a very different formula for joy. And it is what he stated here in this passage. It is to abide in Christ so that we become fruit-bearing Christians. Jesus says it is possible for us to have enough joy for ourselves and still enough to share with others. But it depends upon our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I hope that hopefully we can read this passage with what Jesus wanted the disciples to be left with as he was preparing to go to the cross. And as he was preparing the disciples, trying to prepare them as us today for the difficulties that we face in life, that although there are difficulties in life, that does not mean that his joy cannot remain in us. First thing, if you're taking notes, write this down. First of all, that joy depends on fruitfulness for God. It does. It depends on being fruitful for God. You know, what is fruitfulness? Well, it is that outward, or it's the outward expression of what we see Jesus saying here in John 15, of that inner nature that's within us, if we are a believer. Some folks, and I'm not one of these, but some folks can walk through a forest or a field or some sort, and they can identify a tree simply by looking at their leaves or their bark. I'm not one of those. I've got a tree in my yard that it's not doing what I want it to do necessarily. It's looking like it's dying on me. It seems like every time I plant a tree, it dies on me. So I know what kind of tree it is, so I look it up to make sure I have the right tree. But I was encouraged when I looked it up, and this is the tree, that what it's doing, it's, it's known to do these type things. So I felt better about it. But, you know, I'm not one of these that can just go up and look at trees, and especially when it comes to fruit trees, I'm not able to figure out what fruit trees are like. The fruit is that outward expression, of course, in our life of the inner nature, but for everyday tree, how many of you can pick out an orange tree? Well, if you can pick it out without oranges now, that's the key. Or even an apple tree, you know, or pears. I'm not one of those. I'm not real knowledgeable, but the fruit of the believer is that outward expression of the inner nature. You know, people ought to be able, and they can, identify believers many times by the fruit that we bear. That's that inner nature. And in the case of a believer, fruitfulness is the same. You know, as Christians, we're to bear fruit. Believers are easily identifiable by their fruit. And that's really what Jesus, the point that Jesus is making to the disciples here in John 15. It's not that people get saved by looking in our life, but our life is a great way of pointing people to Jesus. Because have you ever had anybody say to you that I'd like to have what you have? Now that's a compliment. Especially if they're pointing out the spiritual side of you. That I'd like to have what you have. That means that the nature of Christ who dwells within us, by the way, is the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He should be that outwardly expressed. Would you agree with that? He should be. And so our fruit is not just other Christians. It is the inner nature of Christ that eventually will bring about the new birth in the lives of others as we point them to Jesus. Again, nobody's going to get saved by looking in our life, but it's a great way to start out by being a witness, especially if you're not one to really go up to someone and witness to them or give them a gospel tract. One of the ways I tell people to start out with is just let people see Jesus in your life. And that's usually where it starts initially. Let that new nature begin to show outwardly. Fruit, by the way, is the product of God, not something that you and I can manufacture. We cannot manufacture the fruit of God, the joy, that only, by the way, believers can know. A lost person cannot know the joy of the Lord, because there's not that fruit that lives within them, but nature. And that's what Jesus is talking about in John 15. Fruitfulness is the purpose of God for our lives. Look in verse 8 of John 15. In John 15, Jesus says, John 15 verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye shall be my disciples." Now, "Herein is my Father glorified." Now that's the whole purpose of allowing ourselves to be shown to others as far as that inner nature is that God is glorified. By the way, true believers that obey the Lord's commands, meaning they submit to God's word, and because of that submission, they commit to God's word, they'll be devoted to God's will, right? That's the whole purpose. We want to submit to God's word. We want to commit to it. And when we do those things, then we'll be devoted to do whatever God says do. I'll go wherever God you say go. There's no twisting the arm. God does not force us to do anything. It is that submission. It's that commitment. It's that leads us to that devotion to do the will of God. So as far as God is concerned, there's no reason for us to live except to bear fruit, because that's His purpose. You see, we're not here just to fill a place in life, but God has put us here for a purpose. And you know, I know that we have jobs that we go to every day, and we have things that we have to accomplish every day. But when it comes down to it, for the believer, our purpose is to be fruit bearers for God, to be fruitful for the Lord. That's His concern. Now, verse 6 tells us, It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, that is, he dries up, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So if we're not fruitful, then we're worthless in God's service. That doesn't mean that we're worthless in God's eyes, that we're just worthless in God's service. Because Jesus died for all, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we know, like Judas, as Jesus was making reference to the disciples here, there are going to be those that will claim to know the Lord. There'll be those that will claim to be a believer, that they will profess even to say that, hey, I love God, but yet they really don't abide in Christ. Judas was one of those. Judas was among the disciples. But yet, he was one that did not fulfill the purpose of God. And he was really worthless in God's service. And, you know, God expects us as believers to, as we're a part of the vine, and by the way, to be a part of the vine is to know God, right? And to fulfill God's purpose, to be submitted to God's word, to be committed to God's word, and therefore be devoted to God's will. Fruitfulness is the purpose of God for our life. So we have a purpose. We have a purpose in life that brings us joy, don't we? You see, joy depends on fruitfulness for God, but yet that means that we have to be fulfilling God's purpose. Sometimes we get joy and happiness confused because of the way that we look at things from the world's viewpoint. But God's joy is only something that believers can know, but we have to be fruit bearers for God. Secondly, as far as to depend on, to know the joy. Secondly, fruitfulness is dependent upon our relationship with Christ. Please get this. Fruitfulness is dependent, number two, upon our relationship with Christ. Now, what do you mean, preacher? Well, first of all, it's one of life. Fruitfulness is one of life. It's part of the believer's life, right? To want to bear fruit for God. Maybe initially when we started out, we had to learn what it means to bear fruit and to grow in that area. Jesus taught the disciples, he says, I am the vine, and what? Ye are the branches. So what is he teaching? There's a connection here. The vine and the branches. The connection is vital. For us to bear fruit, it's important for us to be connected to the Lord in our life, right? There's no way we can bear fruit. Now we can fool people very quickly. And by the way, there's a lot of that being done in our churches today. There's a lot of people that claim to know Christ, but yet deep within their heart they've never truly accepted Christ. And that's in every church, by the way. Just because we walk through the doors of a church doesn't mean that I'm a Christian. You know, some people believe that's the case. Some people believe they're a Christian just because maybe mom and dad were Christian. Or maybe they're good people. They don't drink, they don't smoke, or whatever. You heard all that. But yet none of that makes us a believer. But that's what Satan would like for us to believe. You see, fruitfulness is dependent upon our relationship with Christ. The question is, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Is there a time in your life where you've truly invited Him in your life to be your personal Lord and Savior? Is there truly a connection with the Lord? Not that you can say, well, I go to church, preacher. There's no connection because, you see, that branch will die off one day. That, you know, Judas was probably a good person. Judas was one that probably everybody liked. But Judas was not connected to the vine. Judas had no true relationship with the Lord. And for Judas to be able to go to heaven, Judas had to have known the Lord as a Savior. And obviously we knew he did not. Fruitfulness is dependent upon our relationship with the Lord. The connection is a vital one. The word abide in verse 5 means to remain or stay around. Remaining is evidence that salvation has already taken place. You know, for someone to say, hey, I'm a Christian, but yet there's no evidence there. There's no sign that truly that in their life that truly there's a connection with the vine. Then you know, I would tell that person, and I've done this many times with people who have told me that they believe they're a Christian, because, and they'll give reasons why they believe that. But yet, is your life, does it demonstrate? Are you living the fact that, hey, you're connected to the vine? Because the word abide means that, hey, you're not coming and going when it comes to God. When you're connected to the vine, that's evidence that you know the Lord. The abiding believer is the only legitimate believer. You see, not everybody's going to go to heaven, right? We know that. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we send missionaries around the world. If we believe that everybody's going to go to heaven, then there's no need for preaching, right? There's no need for missionaries. Will everyone have the opportunity to be saved? Yes. But the abiding believer is the only legitimate believer. That's what Jesus is teaching here to the disciples. Because there's going to be some disappointments in life. And sometimes it's found in our families, and sometimes it's found in our friends or people who we work with who we assume, or sometimes we just don't want to believe that they're not saved. But you see, abiding and believing are actually addressing the same issue of genuine salvation, what Jesus is doing here. So each branch is made partaker of the life that is in the vine. Fruitfulness is dependent upon our relationship with Christ. Is it one of life? Is it one of entire dependence? You see, fruitfulness is one that's connected to the vine. Jesus says in verse 5, without me you can do what? He said, you can do nothing without me. Folks, are we getting that one phrase? Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. Oh, you know, we work a job every day and think, look what I do. Without me, you can do nothing. I've said many times, all Jesus has got to do is to cut off that oxygen. I've got a lawnmower. Some of you can educate me afterwards how to fix it. I just had it in the shop before summer. And it runs great until I want to turn it off. When I go to turn it off, it wants to keep running. I mean, I turn the off button on. Off. I turn the off button off, and the thing wants to keep running. So, you know, I have this little knob on there. Sometimes I've said this, talking to myself, I'll show you. And I turn this little knob, and it won't be but just a few seconds later that thing will stop. Why? Because I turned the gas off on it. It's not getting fuel anymore to the carburetor or whatever. Motor or whatever. But I turn it off. So, you know, I've got power. I feel strong. Look what I've done. I've got power over this lawnmower. I'll show you. I turned it off. You know, and I think about sometimes we think that we do all. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You know, the primary purpose of the vine is to supply the necessary nourishment so that the branch can bear fruit. We're not able to bear fruit in our life. We're not able to do anything in our life unless we are connected to the vine, which gives us the nourishment. In other words, it's so important that we continue to abide. Now, we don't lose our salvation, but it's important as we grow in the Lord, if we want to grow and we want to be fruit bearers, that we stay close to the Lord in our walk with God and in our living, so that we can bear the fruit that God would have us to bear. For this to take place, the vine and the branch must remain intact, right? Thank God if you're saved, there's no problem with that. But yet, you know, sometimes we get out of fellowship with the Lord. That's the case. Sometimes a believer, and I'm speaking from the other side here, the believer, yes, they're saved, but sometimes that believer can get out of fellowship with God. Now, if they're truly saved, they'll not lose their salvation, but in some cases, that person who thought they were a believer was never really saved. Judas may have thought he was truly saved. He may have thought he was truly of God, but Judas found out that, hey, he chose not to, as he made the decision, it's our choice, he chose not to abide in Christ. That was his choice. He paid a great price. Fruitfulness is dependent upon our relationship with Christ. It is one of entire dependence. Are we truly, totally dependent on the Lord? Do we look at Him like that? Do we treat the Lord as though I cannot live my life without You, Lord? Do we wake up living our life that way? Or do we think God needs me? God needs me to accomplish. But you know what? God didn't need us. We need God to bear fruit. We need God to get through a tough day. We need God to get through those trials of life. We need God. You know, no matter what profession we choose to do in life, you know, listen, even our president today, I wish he would understand this, that he could be a far greater president if he would give his heart and life to Jesus and depend totally upon the Lord. That's where many of our founding fathers, they understood what it meant to let God be in control. Then it is one of great possibilities. Fruitfulness is dependent upon our relationship with Christ because it's one of great possibilities. Look in verse 7. Jesus said again to the disciples and us as well, He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall, what does it say? What's the next word? Ask. How do we ask God for anything? Well, we do that through prayer. That's understood there, right? He says, you shall ask or pray what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, our relationship with Christ, if there's truly a relationship with Christ, that you're totally dependent upon Christ, brings the things which are impossible with men within easy reach. In other words, those things that we think sometimes are impossible or others think are impossible, then God says it's possible. If we're totally dependent upon Christ, that isn't that the reason why we gather together or we pray about things or we call upon the Lord? I mean, we've been doing that for some in our church this week. Things that's totally out of our control, but yet we're totally dependent on God. Why do we do that? Because our relationship with Christ brings the things which are impossible with men within easy reach. Jesus said that in verse 7. In other words, He gives us the promise of the promise is one of power in how? In prayer. I mean, I don't have the power to do anything, but there's a great power source that we all have today. And that's what Jesus was reminding the disciples who are believers, who are connected to the vine, that we all have, and that's prayer. I mean, you let something bad happen in your life, what's the first thing you're going to do as a believer? You're going to be on your hands and knees, or in some fashion, you're going to be praying about it. And it may be something that's far, it's just impossible, it seems to others, but God, through prayer, and we've seen Him do it. I've seen God do many things through the power of prayer. And I know you can say that. Now, to the world, it's impossible. But we know to God, we call upon the Almighty God. Because, you see, the believer is committed. And if we are committed to God's Word, then we're devoted to God's will. Thus, our prayers are fruitful, which puts God's glory on display. You know, that's what God says, right? God says that, in verse 8, herein is My Father glorified. Whenever prayers are answered or when we put God to the test sometimes, then God is glorified. You see, fruit bearing is one of great possibilities. And it comes with the power of prayer as well. Then our last point this morning, speaking of a joyful heart, thirdly, our relationship depends on our abiding in Christ. Our relationship depends upon our abiding in Christ. Yes, what does it mean to abide in Christ? Notice verse 10. Jesus says, if you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. Look over with me in 1 John. Go to Revelation and back up to the epistle of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. As you're turning there, I'll repeat verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24. The Lord says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth or abides in him and in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So this passage in 1 John chapter 3 actually features three things that are evidences of true salvation. Did you notice that? There are three things in 1 John 3 that are evidences of salvation. In other words, if you're truly saved, these should be three features that are in your life. One is believing. Not just like you go out here and take a survey, do you believe in God? Well, 90% of the people would probably tell you, yes, I believe in God. But the believing here is that heartfelt belief. And then the word love or loving is evidence of salvation. Would you agree with that? Believing, loving is evidence of salvation. And then thirdly, we see the word obedience. Obeying is evidence of salvation. But most important benefit that we see in that passage, yes, there are those three. If you're truly saved, there needs to be the belief, there needs to be the love, there needs to be the obedience. But without this latter one, you're not saved. What is it? John says, it's the abiding presence of what? Of the Holy Spirit of God. The abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, people can believe, people can love, people can obey, but if there's no abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God, there's no salvation. Because you see, at the moment of salvation, at the moment that we call upon the Lord to be our Savior, He, as He told the disciples, when He told them, I'm not leaving you comfortless, I'm going to leave you with a comforter. The power of the Holy Spirit is with us at the moment we invite Jesus in our life. But it starts by believing. How did you get saved? Well, you believed on the Lord, right? You believed on the Lord. Now, maybe you can say, I love the Lord. You didn't really love the Lord, so you believed on Him. There's that relationship that can, all of this can be done in an instance. I realize that. But it starts with a heart of belief and love and obedience. And then all in that same instant of time, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. I remember when I was 11 years old when I asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. It wasn't the prayer that saved me. Well, preacher, I prayed a certain prayer and that's what my preacher told me to pray. Well, he probably was helping you. But it was the prayer that you prayed did not save you. It was the heart of belief that you probably had before you even prayed. I mean, really, I believed on God before I even prayed and asked Him to come into my heart and be my Savior, forgive me of my sin. Now, I realized Romans 10:13 says to confess your sins, and I did that, and that's all part, and that's well and good, but yet it had to start with the heart of belief. And God heard my heart through, yes, my prayer. And at the moment that you may have done that was the moment that the Holy Spirit came in and abided within us. Thank God for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Our relationship depends upon our abiding in Christ. Would you agree with that? Without the abiding of Christ within our life, there is no salvation. The focus of our attention is on the words of Christ and our obedience to His Word. Christ and His Word must become the focus of our thoughts and our actions. We must fill our minds with His Word and then allow His Word to influence our wills. All of that takes place in the abiding of Christ. You see, our abiding will result in His blessings. When we abide in Christ, it results in blessings. Verse 7, go back to, well, I didn't close, but go back to John 15. I want you to look at verse 7. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Listen, what is that? One of the results of his blessings is the, we see in verse 7, is the answer of prayer. Do lost people get their prayers answered? No. Lost people don't get their prayers answered. Why? Because they're not abiding in Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus does not even obligate himself. The Lord doesn't even obligate himself to hear the prayer of a lost person unless it's that sinner's prayer. That makes some folks angry, I know. But it's Bible. God only hears the prayers of his children. He obligates himself to hear the prayers of his children. And that's biblical. That's Bible. That's not to say that God can't hear prayers of lost people. He does, but he doesn't obligate himself to answer their prayers. But he does obligate himself to hear and answer our prayers. Not necessarily in the way that we always want it. It's always done in the way he wants it done. Verse 7, he reminds the disciples, there's power in abiding. There's blessings. Another is verse 11. Another blessing is verse 11. And what is that? Something that we're really focusing on more today. He says, these things have I spoken to you that my, what? My joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Well, preacher, I'm not very joyful today. No, you're not happy, maybe. Because maybe there's some circumstances taking place in your life, but the joy, no, whether your life is going well or bad, it doesn't matter. Listen, the joy is going to always be there. Maybe it's not the happiness, but sometimes, again, we base our joy on circumstances, and that's all wrong. Jesus says here to the disciples, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might what? Remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So, you know, thank God that we don't have to lose our joy. And sometimes we let circumstances rob us of our joy, but God says his joy is always there. Even through times of affliction, it's there. You know, abiding in Christ allows us to enjoy the joy of the Lord. It releases the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And I close with Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. Now, by the way, the word love there, you cannot have the rest of the fruit of the Spirit without what? Without love. Because that's where it all begins. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And then he says, joy. Love, joy. So can I have joy today? If you abide in Christ. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, there is no joy. You may have happiness based on the world standards of happiness. And what would you rather have? Would you rather have the world's way or God's way? God says, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can have no joy, God says. Without me, you can have no happiness. And if you've never placed your life in Christ, I'd encourage you today to do so. You see, joy is a byproduct of living as a fruit-bearing Christian. And it may very well be but that you don't have joy today because you're not bearing fruit for Christ. You see, it is not something that we should seek directly, but it is the outgrowth of a personal relationship or living relationship with Christ. Our joy depends upon our fruitfulness, and our fruitfulness is dependent upon our relationship with Christ, and our relationship with Christ is dependent upon our abiding in Christ. Joy. You know, God wants us to have a joyful heart. There are going to be things that's going to rob us of the joy if we allow it, but it doesn't have to be that way. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing that you can do today to receive the joy of the Lord is abide in Christ. Give your heart to Christ. It starts with that belief. And then God shows you His love and how to be obedient. and at the same time how to live for Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me?